Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. My name is Mari Mitchell. I'm so happy to be with you today here and my special guest, which I'll be introducing in just a moment. I want to welcome you to the show and to remind you that I have a new product, a new course that I've been teaching. It's been doing amazing things, especially for women, but men can take it too. It's called The Majesty in You. And what this does is it connects you with the divine that's inside of you and everyone else. And from that space, you can create the life that you always wanted. So go check it out at my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com. And you can just click in there to the website and up there, Majesty in You, and find out all about it. But now I'm really excited to announce my special guest for today. She is developed, Chandra Alexandra has developed a four-step process, which she calls the Spiritual Approach to Intervention, SAI, for relating to children with autism. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about how authenticity plays in this. It plays a huge part in this. So welcome to the show, Sandra. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Mari. I'm so grateful that you found me and that we're connecting. I love the way autism, the spiritual approach, fits into your wonderful Be Authentic concept.
Yeah, I love that too. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how you came to do what you're doing now, a little bit about your story.
You know, the story really fits into finding our purpose. I was a real estate broker, and this was a little over 20 years ago, and I was working in Albuquerque, New Mexico, running my own business. And my daughter and I started volunteering at the beautiful place called Cuidando Los Niños, and it is a family center. It's a child care center for families who are in homeless circumstances that have infants and toddlers in their life. And it was a place where we could nurture those babies. Parents managed to work very hard to get out of those homeless circumstances. And, you know, Mari, I would show up, you know, at Cuidando Los Niños, and then I would go back to my real estate company and realize that, oh my gosh, my value system completely shifted. I didn't want to be in real estate anymore. But it was scary because it's like, you know, I was making good money and I was, you know, I had two teenagers to support and all of this. And I found a way, you know, to decide, okay, I want to go back to school. I want to learn all about kids. And the more I learned about early childhood, the more I started encountering in my work in the classrooms, children who had very, very special needs and very, very special gifts. And at that time, they had identified that these were kids living on the autism spectrum.
Very good. So you know what? Cuidando los niños. I'm Spanish, so I speak Spanish fluently. Caring for the children. That's the name of what that place was. Caring for the children. What a beautiful concept. And how beautiful that stepping into that space, that was the desire that you that came to care for the children.
Well, you know, I figured I had been very successful in business in this venture. I thought, well, if I take all of that energy and get the knowledge and education behind me that I need, I could make something big and make a big difference with children. I just didn't know how that was going to unfold. And then it seemed like every time I turned around, these kiddos on the spectrum would be there right in front of me. And what I discovered, Mari, is that I could connect with these kids. It was like I had been given an internal GPS on how to find these kids. You know, they were kind of absent. And right away, I could find them, and I could sense and feel what each individual child needed. I thought, man, if I could package that, you know, we parents and educators could. And it's not, you know, the Autism SAI four-step process that came from that is not in any way a replacement for the work we're doing with these children in mind and in body. But what it is, it's an enhancement. And what it does, it allows parents and teachers to tap into that connecting place, into that intuitive place where they come to understand what their children need. You know, there's so many processes out there that are trying to tell parents and teachers what they need to do when they're working with a child on the spectrum. And absolutely, those are wonderful tools to have, but there are so many that parents and teachers could just be pulling their hair out on, you know, one more thing. Should I do this? Should I do that? And I love supporting parents and letting them know, you know what, you can trust yourself. You can connect with your child in a way that no one else can. And to just share tools. And, you know, I learn as much from parents and educators as I teach. And that's the part of my work that I love so much. Every day I grow and every day I learn to tap closer into my intuition because of them.
Right. That's beautiful. And so, you know, I love the part where you say that parent knows, you know, that we have that intuition, we have that internal guidance that tells us what's best for our own child, whether they're on the spectrum or not, really. And so how do you help the parents connect to that? Because, you know, I raised three kids. Not easy to raise children. I wouldn't say it was the easiest thing I ever did, although it's probably the most joyful thing I ever did. And running around doing all this stuff, how does a parent really take time and focus and begin to connect to that inner guidance?
Well, you know, we've come up with a good handful within these four steps, which, you know, the parents will learn and anyone listening will learn how to access this information. And, you know, there's a lot of good free stuff on the website and you can start poking around and getting some tools. But what we've done is basically boiled down how to connect with these kiddos in some really simple visualization techniques. Like, for instance, there's one of the most popular is what we call the bridge visualization. You know, where these kiddos are located in their hearts and in their consciousness is what I see as somewhere over this amazing bridge. And the further away from us they are on the spectrum, the across the bridge they are. And so one of the visualizations that's working wonders is for parents to visualize that bridge between themselves and the child, and even if it's just 30 seconds before they go to sleep at night, and believe what you see. So, you know, you visualize this bridge, you see your child is over the bridge. Where are they? What is the bridge made of? What are they playing with? Walk over that bridge, meet the child, and see what happens and believe it. And, you know, just in that simple visualization, Mari, what we find is that parents the next day even, teachers the next day, will sense a different level of cooperation from the child, a different level of connection, because all of a sudden that child feels like, wow, they came to me. They're trying to get me. You know, I had a dad recently tell me he's a doctor. He's a doctor in Texas with a 12-year-old autistic nonverbal son. And he said, I did it. He said, I built the bridge out of bubbles. My son loves bubbles. And I went over and I just touched him. I just touched him and told him how perfect he was to me. And he said the next day, he said, I swear to you, the next day, he was closer to me. He came to me more. We had these silent, beautiful moments together. And he said, do you really think this works? And I said, you know, it astounds me every time it works. What our teachers across the world using this are reporting back of what's happening when they use this simple meditation. And Mari, it so touched me what he said. He said, you know what, Sandra, he said, I don't know where this will go, but what I know is I can do something. He said, I felt so out of control and so not knowing what to do for my son. And he said, now I can do something. And so that's kind of where that's just one short, small tool, but that answers your question of how do we work with parents and teachers to help them connect. And there are so many fun activities to do. But more than that, we have outcomes now for 3 years that are showing us that miracles are happening with this stuff. And that's the exciting part, is really knowing that there is a connection happening. Our kids are teaching us how to connect in a much higher space and a different level.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing, Sandra. I love that visualization. I guess it just opens up for a spiritual connection between the two, and then it's just magically the next day is that connection. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Not just a story, this is happening right now. What a wonderful tool for parents to use. That's fantastic. So what role does authenticity play in these parents and even in the children for creating a life of more joy and connection and getting along and all this kind of stuff that we want?
Well, and you know, I have to say that I had to grow and I had to learn how to find my authenticity first before I could even begin to build that in to these four steps. And of course, these four steps, I have to say, came to me in a divine middle of the night, 10 years process. So it's really all about trust and trusting ourselves. So we have lots of mind-body tools that we're given in life every day. You know, we know, education and health and all of these things. And all of the processes that we're given in mind-body, they're absolutely wonderful tools. However, the mind and body are to be used by us, is what I discovered and what I pass along to parents. All of the interventions are to be used by us, but how do we choose? It's our life choices that are driven then by our heart and by our soul. So when we lead with that, when we ask ourselves in every mind-body action we take each day, is how is this serving what my heart really, really wants, either for myself or for my child? See, the kids are authentic already. And these kids on the spectrum, I mean, they are driven. They are driven by their heart. They know what their heart and soul needs. And it's this body experience on this planet that can be so irritating and throw us right off. So if we follow their lead, and go, okay, let's look at what I want in my soul and my heart first. But when we're working with these kids, we are forced, Mari, we're forced to say, what is this child in need of? How can I satisfy the needs of their heart? What are they trying to tell me? And when we reach for that every day, what do they need? Then that's when we start elevating ourselves in our thoughts about following our own heart. Now, sometimes we won't do it for ourselves. And, you know, you and I know that really well. It's like part of following our heart is like, well, you know, who am I? What business do I have? Following my heart, following my soul. I gotta make a living. I gotta cook dinner, you know. That's where we go. But when we have a child who's in pain and they're suffering because of the impact that this world has on them, when we reach to make them feel better and to help and support them, there's only one way we can do that, and that's to elevate our own thinking and to move out of the mind-body and move into more of a soul place. And that's what the four steps do. It really, you know, because how is the first question that comes about. How in the earth do I make myself, be more authentic? What the heck is that supposed to mean, and how do I do it? And so that's what I love about these tools and the four steps. And that what parents can do and educators and anyone who wants to use this process is that, you know, there's a book. There's a guidebook. You open the book, you see what page it opens to and go, oh, that's a good place to start, you know. So you kind of customize, you know, you customize, you look through the videos and you go, oh, yeah, that tool sounds cool to me. Maybe this one and that one doesn't. But again, it's
right.
just allowing the trust of the parents to, you know, I think sometimes it just helps to stand up in front of a group of parents or a group of teachers and say, you know what? You knew how you felt. You knew what that kid needed. Trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Yes, I love that. I love that. We're going to talk about that more when we come back. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to remind you that on the second half of the show, you can call in and if you have questions for Sandra or for myself, and the number is 646-668-8456, and we will be right back. Our commercial doesn't want to play, so I guess we're going to continue talking, and that's perfectly fine with me. I'm not going to argue with that. Very interesting. This has never happened before. So, Sandra, you know, as you were talking about this connecting to our guidance and doing it with children on the spectrum, it was coming to me that, and we talked about this off radio, that this can be used with connecting with anybody, anywhere. So it has like this broad application. Is that not true?
It's very true. As a matter of fact, we kind of have a separate SAI, the spiritual approach to intervention, but now I'm giving workshops that are called the spiritual approach to everything. And so these four steps really, yeah, and these four steps really work with anything. And, you know, the way we kind of discovered that is there's a certification process for providers to, you know, work with children in their schools, in their classrooms, in therapy. And so as mm-hmm. the providers started to learn this process to work with the children, as they started practicing it, without exception, Mari, the provider, the pediatrician, the occupational mm-hmm. therapist, they all came to me and said, Sandra, this works with my husband. This works mm-hmm. with my colleagues. You know, these tools in the four steps, the one I chose, it's changing my life in person. When I'm sitting in traffic, I use this tool. And so,
wow.
and you know, that's really the intention of this process. Mm-hmm. You know, when we look at autism, I had another interview recently, and I was asked the question, if you had a magic wand, and if you could wave that magic wand, and autism would go away, would you do it? Answer was easy. The answer was, of course not. Because mm-hmm. these kids are, they have this amazing capacity for reading us. They have this amazing capacity for reaching other levels of consciousness. And they're here for us to reach up to them and to do that. And so those okay. challenges in life don't have to be, for instance, a child on the spectrum challenging us to reach a higher level of ourselves. Our kids, our pets, other people in the public are challenging
yes.
us every day. And so, yes, so these four steps and all the tools within the steps are very applicable. And the whole idea, mm-hmm. I mean, if I am to accomplish anything by this gift, I'm only the messenger by this gift that I've been given to share, it is that each and every person choose a tool, any tool, and go out and use it all day long. And
wow.
then see how their days change, how much more connected they feel. And I want to give you just a quick example. One of the
yes.
other tools is called the marquee meditation or the marquee visualization. And we came up with this because one of the kiddos in the classroom, I think he was a 4-year-old boy on the spectrum, he mm-hmm. told one of our providers, an occupational therapist, he said, you know, I know what that teacher over there is thinking about me. I don't particularly like, and he's four, right? I don't particularly like it. And she came back to me. She said, oh, my gosh, Sandra, he can read our minds. I said, yeah, no big surprise to me. But what we have to realize, not only with these kids, but they're, you know, with everyone out there, we're very careful of our words, we're careful of our body and how we're projecting, but we don't realize that our thoughts are running like a marquee across our forehead.
Mm.
And others are either consciously or subconsciously reading those thoughts. So even in our good intentions, if we're thinking, oh my gosh, I wish this person in front of me would hurry up, or oh my gosh, here comes this child back into my house and school all day and a tantrum is coming, he's reading that. Mm. And what is he reading? Time for tantrum is what he's reading. And so guess what you get?
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, I think that's the most general tool to where if all of us would just monitor the marquee we're running across our forehead to everybody every day, and we can't stop the marquee. What we have to do is replace it, really replace it with a compassionate marquee. I mean, this is not easy, but it's a lifelong authenticity tool.
And it takes a lot of practice. I mean, I can't say I'm an expert at it, but I began years ago to do just that, be very aware of what I'm thinking, and if it doesn't serve me or others, think about something different. Like you said, that person in traffic, this guy's an idiot, why is he going so slow? Well, how is that serving me or him or her? And so, but it takes a lot of practice, and it takes much dedication and being really present, don't you think?
It does. And, you know, the thing is obviously you're pointing out, and very rightly so, that this is nothing new. But what is new is putting the idea mm-hmm. and the visualization of the marquee to it. And so when we do that, when we really hold the thought that our thoughts are flashing lights that can be seen from miles around, it helps remind us. I mean, it helps, don't you think it will even help you now, to remember,
absolutely.
Oh, my gosh, the flashing lights. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, do I really want every one of my thoughts to be flashed on a marquee? Like, they're going to come watch the movie of what I'm thinking. If I think about that for just a moment, I'm like, no, I definitely have to pay attention to what I'm thinking if it's going to be flashing out there, right? So, yeah.
Exactly.
Really
exactly.
Real. It makes it very real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's really how, to me, what was delivered to me is a gift of simple, practical, step-by-step tools on how to be more in spirit. Because we always ask, mm-hmm. you know, I want to be more spiritual, I want to be, you know, I want to walk in my purpose and my authenticity, but how? Give me some. So, you know, it's like we're trying to build a house of spirituality with a hammer and a nail. And what I love about these four steps is it's allowing us to have the power tools. It's the power tool.
Yep.
It's the GPS to finding our kids on the spectrum. It's the power tools on how to build a bridge.
Love it. I love it. I love all the wording, you know, all the verbiage that you use. I love that bridge, the marquee. I mean, these are really inspired because immediately it brings a vision to my mind, and then I get it, you know. It's just so easy for everyone to get. It's not woo-woo, you're going to be doing this and you don't even know what you're doing. This is very, very down to earth, and I love that part about it. It's anybody can use it. Anybody can understand it, get it, and then use it. They're fantastic. So what do you think is the main message that you have to bring to the public? If you had to say, this is my main message.
My main message is that in every aspect of our mind-body lives, we are often missing a piece. We're missing the spirit piece. And we, you know, We are here to support one another in reaching a new level of connection to one another in this world. And when do we need it more than now? A level of compassion and uniting and caring. And I was simply given the gift of this grouping of tools to help us connect, to help us unite, to help us be more compassionate and love one another better. I use it myself every day, and believe me, even though I teach it, I am still every single day working hard and hard and really hard to maintain and to get to the next step. So I guess my message is that, you know, this isn't necessarily for everybody, and this certainly isn't meant to say, now here's what we need to do in autism. But this is just one, you know, it's one way that if you're wanting to walk a more spiritual path, and you deeply desire to connect, that this is a grouping of tools to look through and see, hey, maybe this will work for me. If it's resonating with anyone listening, then it's fun to just go to the website, go through. There's so much fun, free stuff to go through. And so many people just go to the website and watch some of the videos and, you know, get the free excerpts from the book. And that's enough for them to really get started,
Fantastic. So since we're on that, tell us about your website, how to get there, how people can look in there, get these steps, get more information about you.
Well, I would love to hear from anyone who would just like to touch in and comment. There's always a no-cost phone consult for anyone who's interested in seeing if this process is more for them. So autismspiritualapproach@gmail.com is my contact. And autismspiritualapproach.com is a website for autism, but you'll also find strengthofspiritconsulting.com, which then if you wanted to use SAI in general, there's more information about that. And there's video after video, Mari, describing the tools that parents, educators, anyone who's interested can just go away and use them. So you don't have to, you know, make a big financial investment in order to really get started. And of course, as you have, I have more programs if people want to go more in depth. But just to get started, I want people to just go on the site and just have fun. Just have fun using the tools and see if they don't immediately impact you and everybody around you.
That's fantastic. And just to remind you, Sandra will be appearing on my website under the radio show page by this afternoon. So if you didn't catch those web addresses, she'll be there. You can link right to her website and get a hold of her if you're interested in this. I certainly am going to take a closer look when I get a chance, the videos, et cetera. So it's been absolutely wonderful having you on the show, discussing this, being able to link authenticity to it, which is what I'm all about, and really tuning into us and that trust. I just want to say one second about the trust. You know, I did a book of contributing author called Dare to Be Authentic, Learning to Trust Yourself, which is learning to trust your instinct, trust the divine in you. And that's what you're talking about, Sandra. So what you're doing is fantastic. And I think it's been wonderful to have you on the show today. We have about a minute left. Is there one more thing you'd like to say to a listener to encourage them?
Well, I would like to say to you, Mari, that this has been such a pleasure that you found me just out there in the ethos. and so this was a divinely inspired conversation. And I would say to anyone listening exactly what you just said, trust yourself and believe in yourself. The world around us puts a lot of pressure for us to think this way, that way, or the other way. But, you know, you just trust your spirit. So thank you. I'm very grateful, Mari, to be talking to you today.
Thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for listening in. Catch me again on Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, but you can always listen to the replays. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author, Mari Mitchell Porter.